All right, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. We looked at this word in our Bible study class this morning. It begins by saying, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciosity, but as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Father God, we do thank you for being with us this morning, and we ask, Lord, that right now, as we, your people, are here in this place, that our hearts might be attuned to your will and your way. Father, we would recognize that you're right here with us in this service. Father, we would pray that our hearts and our minds would be attuned to your spirit. You speak to us. You teach us this morning. Lord, lift us up and encourage us. Give us strength, and we might be able to do and serve you as we know in our hearts we ought to do. Father, we thank you for those children this morning and for their diligence in studying their Bible verses and learning. We pray, Father, you would bless them and Children's Church this morning and the teachers who are working with them. We ask, Lord, that even to now in this service this morning, that, Father, if decisions need to be made open, public decisions, that will be done so to honor Jesus, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Well, what's the hardest doctrine in the Bible? You might say, well, the answer depends. If you mean what's the hardest doctrine to understand, then I would submit to you maybe the doctrine of election might be a hard doctrine to understand. If you mean what's the hardest to believe, then maybe I would say to you the sound and the foundation of Christianity is the resurrection. But nevertheless, that may be the hardest to believe. If you mean what's the hardest doctrine to obey, without a doubt, it's the doctrine of submission. The problem's not hard to see. We don't like to give up the right to make our own decisions. Furthermore, we resist someone else trying to make those decisions for us. We just do not like rules in general. We don't like regulations in general. The idea of restricting us in any possible way, that's not good with us. And it's not good with you, I'm sure. This is a normal human trait. To paraphrase Isaiah chapter 53, that great prophet tells us, we're all gone our own way, and by nature, we are rebels at heart. Even when we do obey, we don't like it. I read a little story about a little boy who was disobedient. And his mother caught him doing whatever he was doing. And so as a punishment, she told him to go sit in his chair in the corner. Well, after a little while, she came back and she asked him, have you learned your lesson yet? With kind of a look of defiance upon his face, replied, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Well, that's kind of where we're at. We don't like to submit. We don't like to give our what we think is our privilege and our rights over to anybody, even unto God. We smile because we all know that this is true. Sitting on the outside, but standing on the inside. That's where we're at. We live in a world that's anti-authoritarian. Matter of fact, there are those who seem to make a living. They glob onto that and they use that in every way they can possibly can. And we have many who are pushing us into an absolute lawlessness and chaos all the time. But it seems like it's even more lately. Peter, now let me just remind you, because I said this was the hardest doctrine to obey. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us a framework for understanding how we as Christians, not the world, but we as Christians must relate to various circles of authority. By circles of authority, I mean I'm referring to those different spheres of life that we come in contact with and we must interact with, and we must necessarily have some input and some give and some take. There is the authority structure in the school system. Can you remember those days when you were in the classroom? A teacher came in and, you know, sit down, little Bobby. Judy, sit down, da 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 da. I don't know about you, but I found it very interesting pretty early on to try to move around. People have a tendency to come in and sit in a particular place. Did you notice that? We do that in school. We come in, we find a chair, and we sit down there. And we generally have a habit, I guess, of coming in there and sitting down in that same place. I found out it really messed the teacher up if, you know, I sat down in this chair for a couple of days and then I would sit over there. She would look. What? Have you ever done that? Sure. It's kind of fun, isn't it? I had a lot of fun in my freshman year in high school. So much fun that I ended up almost flunking. I had a lot of fun, though. Some things went my way, some things didn't. I remember the very first day in English class, somebody threw an eraser. Now, Mr. Klungus was late. He should have been there on time, but he was late. So somebody got a little impatient, picked up an eraser from the chalkboard and threw it across the room. I just happened to pick it up and throw it again, whacked him right in the head as he walked in the door. The guy had no sense of humor whatsoever. Out. Get out. You're not coming back. So I got to spend that time in the principal's office. I got to know Mr. Davidson fairly well that year. I thought, you know, let's interject a little humor into this whole high school experience. We were in Germany. We were in Berlin. And it didn't rain, it didn't snow a whole lot, but this day it snowed. I had the brilliant idea. It was brilliant. Our classes were in a U, so there was windows on both sides. And so I ran out in the middle of the courtyard, and I made about 6 or 7 snowballs, and I set them on the ledge of the window for German class. And then I went to class. Now, this lady was nervous anyway. But every time she would turn her back to do something, I opened the window, I would reach out there and get a snowball and throw it across the room. It was marvelous. Lois Jean is saying, no, it's not marvelous. Well, she didn't know what was going on. It was almost foolproof. It was almost perfect. Until about the third to fourth time I reached out there to get a snowball, and there's Mr. Davidson standing there, and he goes like this. I get up, he brings me into his office, he says, sit down at my desk. I sit down at his desk, he says, look to the right. I look to the right, which you could look through the foyer, over there to German class. He saw everything I was doing. There was no recourse. You know, it was fun, until I had to pay the bill. But there's structure in everything. There's structure in school. There's structure in classroom. There's structure at jobs. There's structure in an office. There's structure in the factory. At every level of society, there's some kind of structure. There's some kind of thing that you have to submit to. You have to bring yourself under discipline to be able to maintain that job or to do that function or whatever, to be safe. Those things are there. Anywhere you can find a human being doing something, you're going to find somebody that's supposed to be in charge. You know, under the communist system of government, everything is supposed to be equal. Yet in Russia, those who were in charge were a little more equal than others. I don't know if you remember Mikhail Gorbachev or not, but one time when there was a glasnost thing was going on, one time they interviewed him on the Black Sea at his duchy, this beautiful house he had on the Black Sea. Listen, not every Russian had one of those. Not everybody had one. So this idea that everybody was equal, that's not true at all. Some people were more equal than others. People have never, nor will they ever, get together with someone in particular place in, that there's not somebody in charge that is more equal than you are. We've all had to work for someone who lacked wisdom. Could we call them a jerk? They had no discretion. They had no sense of humor. They had no foresight. Sometimes their somebody's son, how they got in charge of whatever it is. They don't know how to do the thing. Sometimes it's some kind of nepotism going on, or there's some kind of favoritism going on, or whatever, and they become the person in authority, they become the boss, they have no idea how to do the job, but they're just in charge. You know what the technical term for that person who's in charge like that is? Doofus. Now listen, what does God's word say about those kind of circles of authority in which sometimes we work with people who have a technical term? It is a Greek word, doofus. That's who they are. Well, Peter says we're to submit yourselves to the Lord, for every authority instituted by men for the Lord's sake. Some of you are reacting negatively to that already. You're kind of gagging on those words that we're supposed to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Surely there's another verse. But remember, we're rebels at heart. We don't like that. What if we have incompetent leaders? Leaders who you don't trust. Laws you don't like. Taxes you don't want to pay. What do you do? Peter's answer is really quite clear. He says, submit for the Lord's sake. Submit is literally to get in line. It's a military term. To get in line for the Lord's sake. Choices, simple choices. It's either law or lawlessness. It's either order or chaos. If you throw out the law, if you dismiss the order, then no one is safe. It's chaos. Let me give you an example. Our time, one time after a particular event, my dad was in the service, as you well know. He was a first sergeant. He was chief master sergeant. And something was going on. And I happened to be there when this event was happening. And this second lieutenant said something to my dad and took some kind of action. Fortunately, I did be quiet long enough in that particular instance. But afterwards, I said, Dad, that was all wrong. That was, even I know that wasn't right. I said, why did you submit yourself to that authority knowing it was wrong? He told me this. He said, listen, you don't salute the man, you salute the office. You uphold the honor of the office in which they held. I remember Chuck telling me, years and years ago, Chuck was a chief master, master chief in the Navy, highest enlisted rank. And he was on a ship, and they were actually taking, and they were doing maneuvers. Now, they had scheduled maintenance for certain things. And this ensign said, oh, it's, you know, October, whatever. It's time to take the radio mast down, clean that whole thing out, and get it all. According to the maintenance schedule, it was time. And so he says, Chuck, you need to, he didn't say Chuck. He said, Chief, you need to get that radio mast down and clean that thing and all that. And Chuck said, wait. Hey, listen. I'm telling you to get that mast down and clean that thing right now. So Chuck got them in and got the mast down. And just a few minutes, the captain of the ship was looking for the person who took the mast down that cut communications with all other ships in this convoy and on their maneuver. And of course, he got to speak to Chuck Sturgill, who said, Ensign so-and-so ordered the mast taken down. And so these guys got to stand in front of the captain, and the captain inquired what was going on. And the captain was asking the ensign, why are you doing this? He says, it's scheduled maintenance, sir. He says, scheduled maintenance, don't you know we're in the middle of a maneuver? Don't you have any common sense? You know, you can't take the mast down now. We have to communicate. Sergeant Sturgill, why didn't you tell him that? He said, I tried to, but he wouldn't let me. Oh, okay. So the captain kind of admonished gently the ensign for his mistake. And then he said to Chuck, Chuck, is there anything else? And Chuck said, yes, there is one thing more, sir. I'm not a chief. I'm a master chief. See, the ensign was calling him chief. I'm a master chief. And the captain says, yes, sir, you are a master chief. Ensign, every time you see him, you will say, master chief, how can I help you? Isn't that amazing? See, sometimes we have to, quote unquote, salute the rank and trust that these things will work out. You know, there are different kinds of government in the world, aren't there? There are theocracies. There are some who claim to be theocracies even today. There are monarchies. England has a parliamentary monarchy. There are parliamentaries. There are dictatorships. There are totalitarian regimes. There are republics, which we are a republic. You know that? I was hearing some communists the other day on the television telling why we should support such and such demonstration, because as a communist, he was in favor of democracy. And I thought to myself, boy, those two is like oil and water, you know, but they co-opted the word. There's anarchists, there's socialism, there's communism, there's capitalism, all kinds of different social or economic types of ways of doing things. We know these things. Well, Peter said, we are to submit ourselves as unto the Lord. Submit to that authority. Submit for the Lord's sake. What does that mean, for the Lord's sake? It means that there is a connection between the people in authority over us and the God who ultimately put them in that place. We tend to think that the boss or the teacher, whoever it is, that technical person who has that marvelous handle of doofus, is over us, is standing there on his own, when in fact he really is not. Or she. It's not true. They exist as they are, where they are, by God's prevenient will. It may not be his revelatory will. It may not be his permissive will, but prevenient. In the sense that God tolerates it for now. To say that is not to excuse or dismiss any kind of foolishness or evil or whatever kind of behavior. Submitting to the authority is also submitting to the authority of God, because God has told us to be submissive to those in authority for the Lord's sake. Jesus was asked a question over in Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? You see, over in Acts chapter 10, Peter has a vision of a sheet coming down with all sorts of animals on it, being lowered from the heavens, both clean and unclean. According to the Old Testament law, some were clean and some were unclean. And Peter is commanded by the Lord to kill and eat. And what does Peter say? He says, no, Lord, I've never done that. Verse 14. Listen, these words are incompatible. No and Lord. They're incompatible. If you're going to say no, don't say Lord. If you're going to say Lord, don't say no. You've already given over that prerogative to the Lord. You see, obedience carries with it trust. Now, if you get nothing else out of this sermon this morning, I want you to recognize that ultimately, everything you do in life depends upon your trust in the Lord. You see, there are lots of things that are beyond your purview. They're out of your control. You can't control them. You didn't pick this boss. You didn't pick this situation, whatever circumstance it is, whatever barrier, difficulty, whatever. These things came to you. You had nothing to do with it. It was beyond your control, but it's not beyond God's. And so we must always recognize that God is in control and that we are called to trust him. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard. So we're to submit to authority, submit for the Lord's sake. And there's kind of an outer reason that Peter gives us, to silence the foolish. You know, our big objection is, I will not submit to this doofus. He's just, or she's just, you know. Surely Peter's words don't apply to me in this particular situation. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yet the king Peter was referring to in this particular passage when he says down here, honor the king. You know what? Who the king was? It was Nero. You couldn't have picked a worse guy. Well, maybe you could have, but he was one of them. Terrible guy. Constantly everything in a mess. Friends, listen. The Lord knows how to keep you safe, and the Lord knows what you need. I think we got a little picture of that this week. It's a terrible picture. It's a horrible picture. But, you know, they finally captured Muammar Gaddafi. Here's this guy who has ruled Libya with pretty much an iron hand for 42 years. And they run him down. Ironically or poetically, they pulled him out of a storm sewer. There in the city, his city, Kurt, which was to be the capital of his king of kings, him. Isn't that amazing? Let me just... Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Here was a guy who was feared. And now just average guys are pulling him out of a storm sewer, beating on him, treating him like an animal. It's a terrible picture, isn't it? The news said his last words were, "Don't shoot." Okay, submit to authority for the Lord's sake. Do so because there's a silence. It will silence the critics, those who are without. Finally, submission brings a freedom. Verse 16 says that we will silence the ignorance of foolish men. Most people think that freedom and submission are mutually exclusive. We assume that if we choose submission, then we give up freedom. But that's not true. We just don't think it through all the way. I read a story about a gifted young woman who wanted to play the violin at a very early age, 5 or 6 years old. She began to take violin lessons as she interviewed for this teacher, this master teacher, to be her instructor, to guide her, to help her practice, to help her to learn her craft, to hone that gift. The teacher said one thing. Because you're a gifted violinist, I'll take you as a student. But I have one rule, one condition. You must submit to me as a teacher. So this required of this young girl, many times when other people were doing other things, you know, going out, it's a beautiful day, let's go play, let's go do whatever, let's go to the movie, let's go to whatever, go to the dance or whatever, she's practicing. She gave all that up. She had to make her schedule conform to her teacher's schedule. 14 years later, through that submission, she became a violin virtuoso. Now, did she lose her freedom or did she really gain it? See, eventually she played what she wanted and hearts were touched because she was so magnificent with the violin. But it came because of all that practice. Oh my. We pay taxes because of the ultimate scheme of things. Do you like to pay taxes? Don't shake your head. Yes, I. But listen. Yes. Well, listen. Money doesn't matter. God does. See, I'm talking about ultimates. We vote because we have the privilege and opportunity. We don't lose our spiritual equilibrium if our candidate doesn't win or if he loses. It doesn't make any difference. You see, politics is not the final measure of life. You can be here one day and here the next. We obey those who have the rule over us because they're temporarily put in the place they are and they don't really matter. What really matters is our willingness to trust God in difficult situations. We're to fear God. Honor the king. Some are not honorable people. But we honor them anyway because Jesus is Lord. You know, one of the most amazing things, of course, the American Revolution compared to the French Revolution. There were loss of life in both places, but we in the American Revolution didn't take anybody out and through mob violence use a guillotine to bring about our government. Some people are not very lovable, most assuredly, but you know what God tells us to do? Love them anyway. For Jesus' sake. You know, sometimes you have to remind yourself of that, don't you? I have to remind myself of that. Look, I've already given that up. I've already said Jesus is Lord. I can't say no, Lord. That's incompatible. I've already said Jesus is my Lord. So when I am put in a position to magnify that Lordship, I must necessarily say what? Yes, Lord. And trust Him for the results. That's hard. That's very, very difficult. When we behave like that, though, then Jesus is lifted up. Because, you see, that's not the world's way. The world's way is revenge and vindictiveness and cruelty and you name it and all those kind of things. But when we follow the example of the Lord Jesus and put it into practice, then you become a shining light and a beacon to all those around you. If Jesus be lifted up, he said what? I will draw all men unto me. You know, I have to tell you, my rebellious heart doesn't like that. But let me tell you something else. It's not really about me. I'm just a player on the stage of time and eternity, trusting God. It's really not about them either. They're just players on the stage of time and eternity. It's really about obedience. Is it not? I told you that wasn't easy. And I could bring a little balance to that this morning, but I don't want to because I want you to think about that this morning. That ultimately, it is trusting God because there are going to be times when you're not going to be able to figure it all out. And you're going to just have to, by faith, trust God for the results. That's all there is to it. But let me just clue you in on one other little small thing. This world, this time,
this chronos is not all that there is. It's not all that there is. If justice doesn't come now, it will. If justice doesn't come now, I assure you, it will. And I assure you that if you haven't really understood what justice is, then you're longing for it, perhaps. Let me just say to you, you don't want justice either. Oh yeah, I want justice! Listen, God is just, and He will judge in perfect righteousness. But you know what? When I stand before the Lord and give an account for myself, the first word out of my mouth is not going to be, "Justice!" It's going to be mercy. You see, justice demands full payment. Full payment for the behavior. But mercy and grace brings forgiveness and freedom. Aren't you glad that God is not only a God of justice, but also mercy? Lord, have mercy on us sinners. Father, help us to be the kind of people that You'd be well pleased with, that our trust in You would extend to every circumstance. Lord, sometimes we find it easy to trust because we recognize right from the get-go, right from the very beginning, we can't do anything about it, but we must trust You. And sometimes it's easy for us to fall there. But in other cases, it seems like You've given us responsibility, and that responsibility requires of us right actions and choices that make it difficult, because that old sin nature wants to come in there and exert itself and say, "I can." When you're just simply looking for obedience and trust. Help us to trust You, Lord. Lord, even today, in this world we live in, it's just shaking. The foundations that were so sure are not sure anymore. But Lord, these things have always been temporal. You are eternal. Help us to always turn our face from the temporal to the eternal God, who is both justice and mercy. And we'll trust You. Father, if decisions need to be made, even at this time and this place, I pray they'll be done so to honor Jesus. For it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.